Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If the House proceeds with second reading this afternoon, for those who may not have been adjourned until...
The House will come back to order. Representative Belton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move for a call of the House.
A call of the House has properly been moved. Call of the House has been properly moved.
We're good? What else do I have to do?
Open.
Oh, okay. All right, Representatives Arndt, Representative Becker J, Becker K, Beckman, Benavidez, Bridges, Buck, Buckner, Carver, Coleman, Covarrubias, Danielson, Escar, Garnett, Herod, Hooten, Humphrey, Craftharp, Hooten, oh wait, I already said Hooten, Landgraf, Lawrence, Lee, Lantine, Lundeen, Melton, yeah, that's right, I have no problem calling my own name, Pedersen, Ransom, Sias, Valdez, Weissman, Willett, Winter, Melton, Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
seem to mind this time.
Is anyone allowed to call names?
Representative Arndt. Becker J. Becker K. Representative Beckman. Beckman. Representative Kova Rubius.
Representative Madam Pro Tem Danielson.
Representative Escar.
Our leadership, Escar. Representative Escar. Representative Humphrey.
Humphrey.
Crafthorpe. Paging Representative Crafthorpe. Push your button, Representative Crafthorpe. Thank you.
Representative Lawrence.
Lee, Representative Lee.
Lantine, Representative Lantine.
Lantine. Representative Wiseman. Representative Willett.
Winter.
Becker J, Becker K, Representatives Beckers.
Becker J, Becker K.
Representative Danielson. Representative Lee.
Representative Lee.
Weissman.
There he is.
Representative Weissman.
Representative Willett, Winter, Weissman, Winter, Willett.
K and J, J and K, Becker.
Okay, my work here is done.
Yes.
We're bailing on you. Say, you have to say this backwards.
Oh, the whole thing.
Representatives Becker K, Danielson, Willett, Winter.
There's Winter.
There's Winter? Okay. I just text all three of them.
Back with Becker.
Representative Melton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move to raise the call of the House.
Call of the House is raised. Reports of committees of reference.
Committee on Finance, after consideration on the merits, the committee recommends the following House Bill 17B-1001 be referred to the committee of the whole. Favorable recommendation.
We will now proceed to general orders, second reading of bills for the immediate consideration of the bills that were just reported out of committee. Representative Foote. All right, members, you have heard the motion. Seeing no objection, Representative Foote will take the chair.
The committee will come to order. With your unanimous consent, the bills will be read by title unless there's a request for reading a bill at length. Committee amendments will not be read unless requested as they are printed and in your bill folders. Floor amendments will be shown on the screen and on your iPads and not read unless requested. Bills will be laid over upon motion of the majority leader. The coat rule is relaxed. Mr. Randall, please read the title of House Bill 17B1001.
House Bill 17B-1001 by Representative Becker Kale, Senator Donovan, concerning clarification that retail marijuana sales are subject to sales taxes levied by certain limited purpose governmental entities.
Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 17B-1001.
To the bill, Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we had a really worthwhile debate on this bill. I think everyone's familiar with the situation. We passed, after working on it all session long, a pretty robust bill at the end of the session last year. Sometimes when things get drafted, the implication of a particular section on other parts of the law are not all that clear. And so in that bill, an inadvertent mistake was made that eliminated certain special districts and other limited purpose governmental entities' ability to levy sales tax on retail marijuana sales. Now, please know that this was not in the fiscal note. It was not in the bill summary. The bill was not given to RTD, SCFD, and other special districts for them to review the fiscal impact. No one knew that this was going to have this impact on the special districts until right before the end of the fiscal year. And all the sponsors have agreed that this was not an intent of the bill. So for several months, we spent some time understanding if there was an administrative fix, if there could be a legislative fix and what that would look like, and what the fiscal impact really was. After that research was done, we decided there absolutely could be a legislative fix. And at that point, the special districts went to the governor and said, we need this fixed sooner than later. And so we are all here today because the governor issued a call to bring us back into session to fix this bill. Let's make no mistake. Taking recreational marijuana out of districts' tax base was not the intent of the General Assembly. Making sales tax administration more complicated with this provision was not the intent of the General Assembly. There is no administrative remedy, and we need a statutory fix. This bill simply fixes the statute to say that notwithstanding the provision of Senate Bill 267, the special districts can collect the taxes that were already approved by voters, when they approved SCFD and RTD taxes, that were already approved by voters when they voted four times to pass marijuana taxes. This mistake has a real impact on real people. It has an impact to RTD to the tune of about $500,000 a month, and to the special districts, to the Science and Cultural Facility District, of about $56,000 a month, and several other districts across the state. Now, we just heard in the Finance Committee from the premier constitutional law professor in Colorado, Richard Collins, and he's been teaching a class on Tabor that includes Tabor for years. And he testified that he absolutely believes this bill is constitutional. You can rely on that given existing case law from the Mesa County Court decision from 2009 to the current Court of Appeals decision issued earlier this year in the case of RTD, Tabor Foundation versus RTD. And he said an alternative theory is that he does not think, and he believes the court would rule, that mistakes can be fixed, that it was not the intent of Tabor to say unintended, inadvertent mistakes don't trigger Tabor elections. It's just plain and simple. It's that easy. And he knows Tabor better than anyone in this room, better than all of us. So under many alternative theories, if your concern is, does this violate Tabor, there's multiple avenues where you can get to yes. The other thing that I've heard is we didn't like the process that resulted in a special session. You all, every day of a regular session, someone has a process complaint in this room that they didn't have a bill or an amendment early enough. The lobbyists didn't come talk to them. In those situations, we need to put our egos aside and just do the right thing for the people of Colorado. So, because I think the facts on this are clear, that we have a mistake, that we've been called back to do the job that we are supposed to do as legislators who implement the will of the voters, and because we have every legal basis in the world to do this, I'm asking for your yes vote.
Is there any further discussion on House Bill 17B1001? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thanks, members. You know, we keep hearing the word glitch and fix. The problem is what some are calling a glitch is current law. Current law eliminated a tax. In our Constitution, Article 10, Section 20, Subsection 4, clearly states any tax policy change that results in a net revenue increase, has to go to a vote of the people. Look at your fiscal note. This is a net revenue increase for those special districts, and therefore it has to go to the will of the voters. I'm sorry it was a mistake. I'm sorry it was a glitch. But this Constitution is more important than what we do in this room. This Constitution doesn't have a price. There's no price tag for our Constitution. Trust me. I've served with folks who've paid the ultimate price protecting it. I urge a no vote.
Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the U.S. Supreme Court decided Marbury v. Madison in 1803, it has been the law of this land that the judicial branch, decides what the Constitution says. That's as constitutional as anything that we can debate here. And the judicial branch has issued a couple of decisions on point. One is Tabor Foundation versus RTD on this exact issue. And the Court of Appeals concluded that despite lacking an election requirement, House Bill 13-1272 neither imposes a new tax nor constitutes a tax policy change within the meaning of Tabor, and it is therefore constitutional. The Mesa County case, as I talked about earlier, decided in 2009, said, "We find that to understand the language tax policy change in any real sense, it cannot be applied to any policy modification that may have a de minimis impact on a district's revenue." The court stated that we find that a tax policy change directly causing a net tax revenue gain only requires voter approval when the revenue gain exceeds the limits dictated by Tabor. It only requires a vote of the people when it exceeds the revenue gain, the limits dictated by Tabor. We have case law on this. I also want to note that some of my colleagues over here have stood at this very well, arguing that we should repeal the film production tax credit, the electric vehicle tax credit. Each of those in a repeal would be a tax policy change that leads to a revenue gain. Exact same set of situation, exact same impact as here. So how can that situation be one that doesn't require a vote of the people, but this one does? Because current law gives those tax credits out. We would have to go to a vote of the people every time we want to change a tax credit. I looked back at the articles from the session, some news articles, And they talked about how Republicans were pushing a repeal of the film production tax credit. It's the exact same thing. Repealing that would lead to an increase in taxes to the General Assembly. It would lead to net revenue gain. That is not what the case law says here. That's already been decided. Case law clearly says that if it's going to come up against your revenue limit, your Tabor revenue limit, then it has to go to a vote of the people. It says that a tax policy change is a overall broad tax policy, and merely including an item in a list of things already approved for taxes is not a tax policy change. So again, the case law is clear. The facts are clear. We made a mistake. We have the responsibility to own up to it and fix it and actually implement the will of the voters. The will of the voters was to pass these taxes. They didn't ask us to put in a new tax exemption. They've approved marijuana taxes. They've approved RTD and SCFT taxes multiple times. If you want to stand by your voters, vote with how they voted on SCFD and RTD. I ask for an aye vote.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And even though it's not to the bill, I think I need to go ahead and respond. I think the difference here, and we argue different tax credits, is if you take a look at your fiscal note, members, there's no Tabor impact here. When you actually repeal a tax credit, there's a Tabor impact because our whole general fund is subject to Tabor limitations. And if you repeal any sort of tax credit, that money ends up back in the hands of the people. In this case, it does not. In this case, it ends up back in the hands of the special districts, creating a net revenue gain for those special districts. Members, if we're not making a change in tax policy here, what are we doing? Clearly, in this building, we make policy. And this is a tax policy change that will result in net revenue increases. I didn't take an oath to defend someone else's, some professor, or anyone else's opinion of the Constitution. I took an oath to defend it myself, and I consult the source myself. And it is very clear. I urge a no vote.
Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll give you examples of tax policy changes. I don't know if we increase the state income tax from 4.63% to 5% to 6%, that would be a tax policy change. That would be something that we would have to send to the voters. So certainly a rate increase is a tax policy change. If we wanted to institute a brand new tax as a state, like a hotel tax, an occupation tax, an accommodation tax, that would be a tax policy change. There are absolutely clear examples of tax policy changes, but saying that what voters have already approved that we mistakenly took away, that just adds an item back to a list, is not a tax policy change. It is not a change to an overarching system of taxation, and that's what the Supreme Court said you need to have a tax policy change. They also said, or a new tax. If you're passing a new tax, that would be subject to Tabor. This is not a new tax. It existed just 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So it is not a new tax, and it is not a tax policy change.
Representative Mitch Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. Yes, this is not a tax policy change. What it is a change that will have negative, very negative impacts on the people of rural Colorado, the rural Western Slope. If you look at this fiscal note, what you see is the organizations affected by the so-called glitch. It was a mistake. But this mistake costs real people real money. The Montezuma Hospital District is very negatively affected. All of the regional transportation authorities on the western slope, all of them are affected. Now, what does that mean in terms of real people's lives? We often talk up here that we're very concerned about working people. Guess who uses the buses of these regional transportation authorities? It is working people. They have to get to work because they can't afford to live where the jobs are. Who uses the Montezuma Hospital District? A wide variety of people, but among them, hardworking people whose hospital van, whose little hospital, hours away from other hospitals, would not be able to serve them. And then there's, of course, okay, mea culpa, it's my district, the Edwards Metropolitan District. Edwards is not an incorporated town. It looks like one when you go there, but it's not. It's a special district. So that means that basically it would be irreparably hurt by this change. Moreover, the Summit County Combined Housing Authority. Guess who uses the housing authority? Hardworking people. Single moms, two-parent families, each of whom is working two or three jobs. That's who gets hurt with a no vote on this bill. I would certainly urge a yes vote to help working rural people.
Is there any further discussion on House Bill 17B1001? Representative Van Winkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is why people really dislike politicians. Because we're proposing a bill that raises a tax, and we're saying, no, 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 there's a professor, so-and-so. If you think about it, it's not really a tax increase. It just collects revenue that is not currently being collected. Members, there is no asterisk at the end of our Constitution that says, just ignore parts that the legislature, ignore parts for when the legislature does something it didn't mean to do. Members, this legislature did act. We passed Senate Bill 267. It's signed into law. That is the law of the land today. And this is a brand new proposal which proposes to change and start collecting a tax that is not currently being collected. I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, if a tax is not currently being collected and it starts being collected and there's a lot of more money for government, that's a tax increase.
Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll tell you why, when it is that people don't like politicians. It's people don't like politicians when they are unwilling to fix the problems that they create. They want to vote on taxes, sure, but they also don't want us to bug them unnecessarily when we can fix the problem ourselves. They don't want us creating problems to begin with, and if we create them, we better own up to them and fix them. That's what they want. You can do a job here, do it. Don't take their time, don't waste their energy. Just fix a problem that you've created. And we did this. I was one of the bill sponsors. But I'm willing to fix it because I think it's what voters want. How do I know it's what voters want? I don't know, they've only approved all of these taxes dozens of times. That's one indication. I respect that people can have ideological differences on this. I think that we can respect the Constitution in this instance because we have case law backing us, and we can respect the will of the voters at the exact same time by putting in place what they'd already voted for. Not a new tax, just removing the exemption that we mistakenly created.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative McKean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have a question. Because I think it's an important one. I came all the way down here, put on my jacket, decided it was probably worth asking the body. When we saw this bill come through, we saw it come through rather quickly. We saw a lot of things. I heard that it was worked on all session. I know there were a lot of things worked on all session, but this wasn't one that we really heard a lot about until the very end of our session. So we got this sort of freight train coming down the path. And part of that freight train was how do we equitably do what they wanted to do in this bill, one part of which was raise the marijuana tax, the excise tax on marijuana for recreational marijuana, from 10% to the constitutionally allowed 15%. In so doing, they decided that the 2.9% of state sales tax, if this is confusing, raise your hand, the 2.9% would be rolled into that 15, so it wasn't a really great big jump. Well, here's the problem. If that was the negotiation to get 267 to be slightly more equitable, and now we're coming back to say, we really need to allow those special districts to collect their tax where the 2.9% tax is not currently being collected, isn't that sort of throwing sand in the face of everybody who thought that everything was going to be wrapped into that 15%? When it came here, and I did not vote for it, it was one of those things that it sounded like everybody tried to make it the best possible mess they could, which is something we politicians also do. But if what we're now doing is coming back and saying, oh, we didn't consider this other tax that was out there, and so now we're going to come back and dip our hands back into your pockets for something we thought we had more or less gotten rid of into that 15%, this special district tax was being collected only because state sales tax was being collected at the same time. I understand it. I'm just suggesting that if that was the negotiation, this probably isn't the best fix to simply say, oh, we made that mistake. I think the best fix is to say, do you want to continue paying this slightly increased tax where sales tax is being collected? Because I think that is the honest negotiation that 267 would have called for. I urge a no vote.
Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question before us is the adoption of House Bill 17B1001. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. The bill is adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, colleagues. I move to rise and report.
The committee will rise and report.
The House will come back to order. Mr. Randall, please read the report of the Committee of the Whole.
Madam Speaker, your Committee of the Whole begs leave to report ahead of us under its consideration following attached bills, being the second reading thereof, makes the following recommendations thereon. House Bill 70B-101, passed on second reading or engrossed, placed on the counter for third reading and final passage.
Representative Foote. Thank you, Representative Foote. You have heard the motion, and there are no amendments. The question before the House is the adoption of the report of the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Randall, please open the machine, and members, please proceed to vote. Representative Lawrence and Representative West. Representative Lawrence is excused. Please close the machine. With 37 yes votes, 24 no votes, and 4 excused, the report of the Committee of the Whole is adopted. All right, announcements and introductions. Any announcements or introductions? Representative Garnett.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members, great to see everybody. Welcome back. Hope you have a nice interim. We just wanted to make an announcement about the bipartisan kickball game that Representative Norberg and I have helped organize. I want everyone to know that this is Representative Norberg's idea. It's a great one. And that I'm really happy to help out. But the game is tonight at 7 o'clock at Metro State. If it's raining and it's freezing cold out, there's an indoor option. But if it's not raining, plan on bundling up and playing outside. It's to raise money for hurricane relief. It's a great cause, and I'm happy to be helping organize it.
Representative Norberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. For those who think it's too cold this evening, the Wambulance will be there to pick you up. This is a great event for charity, so thank you all for so many people willing to participate. It's going to be cold for certain, but it should be a lot of fun. An email will be coming out shortly giving you full specific details on parking code, and the facilities and where you need to go. So, parking policy change, yes. So there should be nothing left to chance. We'll just see you tonight at 7. If you want to get a little pregame practice, a number of us will be there at 6:30. So look forward to seeing you tonight.
And lastly, teams haven't been determined yet. So I know that Dan and I are captains together against Senator Moreno and Senator Hill. So I don't. It's hard to start trash talking, but I'm assuming that whatever team Dan and I are on is going to raise the most money for charity.
Yeah.
Boom. Any further announcements or introductions? Representative Winter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members, you actually have a flyer on your desk, like it's normal session. This is for the Colorado Youth Advisory Council, and they are starting their job on October 21st, and they're still looking for some members. And granted, they are picked by Senate districts, but I actually know most of them have been recruited by representatives. And there's still a couple of districts that are missing some young folks. So I'm sure you know some young folks in your district that would add their policy ideas, want to interact with us. And then for those of you that do have someone in your district and it listed on the back, they're going to be calling you for a meeting. And I was told we aren't calling them back. These are your constituents. They're young people that want to make a difference. Please take 5 minutes to talk to these folks and let them know what you think and hear from them. Thank you.
Any further announcements or introductions? Seeing none, Madam Majority Leader.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess till 9 a.m. tomorrow. I stand in adjournment till 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Seeing no objection, the House will stand in adjournment until 9 a.m. tomorrow, October 3rd.